Hoop Heads podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads podcast. This is Mike Linzig here broadcasting with my partner Jason Sunkel. Today we're going to be discussing sportsmanship as it relates to youth basketball, and we'll also be touching on a few things related to the topic when it comes to NBA players and the example they set for sportsmanship for the young players that are out there today. At Head Start Basketball, we have a strong belief in the concept of sportsmanship. We think it's something that is very, very critical that we teach all of our young players. We think it's something that translates not just on the basketball floor, but also off the basketball floor into making the young basketball players that we come in contact with better people. And ultimately, that should be the goal of any youth sports program, is to use sports as a vehicle to be able to create better people. And Jason, I know you and I were talking a little bit before we got on the podcast about some of the examples that we've seen set by NBA players in terms of their sportsmanship and just how bad it's gotten, especially when it comes to demonstrating sportsmanship and having respect for officials. And you were mentioning one specific thing that jumped out at you when we started talking about this topic.
Yeah, I swore we weren't going to really rehash the NBA Finals much today, but I definitely think the game one, LeBron went to the lane and Draymond Green literally like poked him in the eye, like the old, like kind of like the old Three Stooges thing where you poke him in the eye.
For sure.
And the whistle gets blown and Draymond Green acted like he did nothing. Like, I had my hands up in the air. He probably swore a little bit and got upset and kind of upstaged the official there. And it was just like, dude, I mean, and you saw it in LeBron's eye the rest of the series. He literally had blood vessels that had exploded in his eye because of that eye poke. And I just think, you know, and I want to be clear here, Draymond Green is one of the bigger perpetrators of this, but LeBron does it too.
Everybody does it. I think that's the biggest point right now, that when I watch NBA basketball, almost every single time the whistle blows, there's multiple guys throwing their hands up in the air, making faces, running down to the other end of the court, and just generally making a spectacle of themselves.
Or even worse is they're arguing with the officials and not getting back on defense.
Correct.
And your team gets beat down the court and they get an easy bucket because of that.
And the example that those players are setting for the young players out there today is just, it's just an atrocious example to be setting for kids who are playing basketball today. Because when you see NBA players who kids look up to arguing every single call, especially ones that you mentioned that are egregious fouls, that there's no way that a player could honestly think that they didn't commit that particular foul. It just is, wow, it's just a terrible situation for kids to be able to see, because then, just like anybody, the kids emulate that stuff. And now you see them arguing calls or throwing their arms up or, you know, prancing around after they make a shot. And instead of, you know, again, having respect for the officials and having respect for their opponents, instead you're getting, you know, faces and arms up in the air and running around and all these different things that NBA players do that just really set a terrible example. I'd like to see, to be honest with you, I'd like to see the NBA really crack down on that. And if, you know, I've been to a couple of, you know, different NBA events in the last year. I've gone to two different junior NBA leadership conferences, and one of the things that really hasn't been addressed, but I'd like to see it addressed by the NBA, is, you know, if they're really concerned, they're trying to get more involved with the youth basketball and put out guidelines, which are tremendous, and try to have an influence on the game, which I think is great. But one of the things that I think is missing is really reining in the players in terms of how they behave themselves out on the court, because it's getting to the point now where it's ridiculous. And the NBA really wants to have a positive impact on youth basketball. One of the things that they could do is just simply crack down on their players and the way they treat officials. And it seems like it would be an easy fix if you got everybody in a room and just said, look, we're not going to put up with this anymore. And if it did go on, you know, there would be penalty for it. And right now it seems like officials tolerate it, coaches tolerate it in their own players, players tolerate it from other players, and it's just, again, to me, it sets a terrible example.
And I always preach to my kids, like, you know, we can only control what we can control, and
And I don't tolerate them showing up officials or getting angry at officials. If they even demonstrate to me on the basketball floor that, that they are going to argue with an official or they're getting upset, I pull them immediately because I don't tolerate it. And that's me coaching a 7th and 8th grade basketball team at a level that, you know, they're still learning basketball, but I don't tolerate it. So I think, you know, I think the biggest problem that they're going to have is, you know, they talk about how the referees aren't held accountable for making bad calls. And, you know, we see that with the last 2-minute report. They kind of are a little more transparent. I really think the NBA needs to even get more transparent with it and say, these were calls that were made that were wrong, or like, I'm not trying to justify the sportsmanship the way that the players are acting, but kind of make it a two-way street where the open dialogue, I think that would really help get the players in check, so to speak, you know, right, more transparent.
Right. And I think it's really just a simple fix in that, look, I think the NBA has to understand that kids all over the country, and to that matter, all over the world now, are looking to them to set an example of what's the right way to go about and conducting yourself. And the example that's being set right now is just a terrible example.
Trash.
And it really is. We're teaching kids the exact opposite of what I think you would want to teach them. And I like what you were saying about how you conduct yourself with your team. And to me, one of the big keys is that you have to hold your kids accountable to a standard that you believe in. And when you do that and you demonstrate for them how you expect them to act, and then you hold them to that standard, kids want to reach those. Kids want to reach those standards. Kids want to be good sports. They just need to have a good example being set for them by their coach. And I think, to be honest, any coach who's working with youth players or middle school players or high school players should be placing a huge emphasis on sportsmanship, because in a lot of places in the world, it's lacking that type of respect. And when you are a coach, part of your job is to instill that type of respect for the people around you in your players. And it's just a tremendous opportunity, again, to have an impact on kids, not just on the basketball court, but off the court as well, where they can take the things that they've learned, take the lessons they've learned on the court with you as a coach, and then apply them in their regular life, both in the moment, but also when they become college students or they become adults or they have a job. The things that you're teaching them can have a wide-ranging impact throughout the entirety of their life.
There's things I talk about with my kids when I coach, and something like situational sportsmanship, which is really big to me, is, you know, if my team's up 30 points with 3 minutes
left, it's easy to be a good sport.
I know. But if we're down by 30 points, it's not easy to be a good sport.
Correct.
So I talk about, you know, it's easy to be a good sport up 30, but at the same time, like, not putting the pedal to the metal. And sometimes it's really hard to rein the kids in and say, hey, you know, you don't need to attack the basket or jack up three-pointers. We're up 30 points right now. Let's run a good offensive set. Let's work on something. That's something I always preach to my kids, is if I'm up 30 points, I'm like, all right, guys, I want us to somehow – I've had them drive to the lane and call timeout. I want to work on this inbounds play. We're up 30 points. Let's work on something instead of just – going through the motions here, because, you know, we want to get better for the future. And this game, obviously, we played great. But at the same time, you know, there's going to be situations that we're going to come across and we're not going to play well. So being a good sport and not putting the pedal to the metal up 30 points and trying to do fast breaks. And I was in a game 2 years ago where a coach called a timeout up 55 points because he wanted to put a press on me up 55 points. And I couldn't believe it. And there was no rule in the book that said they couldn't do that, so I couldn't throw a big huff about it. But that's not good sportsmanship.
Right. There's a lot of coaches. I've run into that a lot of times, especially in AAU tournaments. You'll have coaches who their philosophy is they press the whole game, and it doesn't matter if they're up by one or they're up by 50, they're going to continue to press. And I kind of have mixed feelings about that. Obviously, that's something that I would never do as a coach for my own team. As an opposing coach, part of me feels like I wouldn't be that upset with the other coach if they were doing that. I wouldn't condone what they're doing. At the same time, I would use that as a motivating factor with my own team of, if you don't like getting pressed when you're down by 30, then work on your game and improve, and don't get down by 30. Which, again, there's all different circumstances under which that kind of thing can happen. You can be playing a team that's much more talented or has, you know, all-star kids from all over different areas playing against a team from a local geographic area or whatever the case may be. But regardless, you do see that sometimes, and you wonder, what is that coach who's pressing up by 40? What message? What's he teaching?
Well, not
or
only
what's
that,
she
but,
teaching to her kids?
But obviously, your kids are up 40. It's not benefiting them to keep pressing. I mean, because they're just going to, you know, keep score. Like, it's – and stats are going to look great.
Okay? Right.
They're, but it's not doing anything good for the other team. And I think – and I know AAU kind of – and this is going to be for another podcast, I'm sure, when we're talking about youth basketball today. But I think AAU kind of has distilled it a little bit and made it where, you know, we want to try to win by as much as we can, or we want to be as successful as we can. We don't really think about.
Well, sometimes point differential makes a difference in these tournaments.
Yeah.
You know, if you win it, sometimes winning a game isn't enough. Sometimes you have to win the game by 15 in order to advance out of your pool. And so you'll see games where, you know, you'll have to make a decision. I know there was one time when my son's team was in, I bet we were in fourth grade maybe, and we were in this tournament, and we knew going into the game that we had to win the game by, I think it was 13, in order to advance. And so we got in a situation where it was the second half, and I had my starters in at that point, and it was coming up to the time when we were going to sub, and we were up, I think, 16 maybe when it was time to sub. And typically, you know, just like on most youth teams, when you sub and you go to your bench, typically your bench players aren't as strong as your starters. And, you know, I had a feeling, okay, if the bench players go in, we're still going to win this game, but we're probably not going to win by 13. So it was a real moment for me where I had to consider, what do I really stand for? Kind of like your question before, or your comment before about situational sportsmanship. It's very easy to say, oh, we're going to play the bench, and, you know, when it doesn't matter, and, you know, we know we're going to win this game. But here was a situation where we needed to win by a certain number of points or we didn't move on. And so I had this internal mental dilemma for 5 seconds of, do I keep the starters in so we can win by 13 and keep playing, or do I put my substitutes in at the same time I always do? And I made the decision to put the substitutes in the same time I always do, and we ended up winning by 11 and didn't advance in the tournament. So it's one of those things, again, that just what are you teaching to the kids? What are you teaching the kids? If winning became more important in that moment than my responsibility to all the players on my team to do things the way I've done it the entire year, I feel like I modeled the type of behavior that I'd want my kids to exhibit in a difficult situation. And I think that's something that coaches have to keep in mind, that it's not always about the winning. It's not always about doing something that's easy. Sometimes it's doing something that's hard that teaches the right lesson about sportsmanship and how you treat your teammates and how you treat the game and how you treat anybody that's in a situation that could be difficult.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that. You know, you have to make decisions and show what you stand for in certain things, like what you said. You know, you could have won the game, and you probably would have won the game by 18-20 if you would have left the starters in, but you had to make that decision. And I just think that sportsmanship is a very vast and ever-changing thing, and you never know what's going to happen with it specifically until you play the game. And all you can do is teach the right tenets.
For sure. So you try to teach decision-making skills, and you try to then emulate and model those decision-making skills. And I think one of the things that we all need to keep in mind, if you're a youth basketball parent or you're a basketball coach, or for that matter, if you're a basketball player listening, is that when you're the adult in the situation, you have to be the one to model the type of behavior and the type of sportsmanship that you want your kids to ascribe to. And if you don't, kids, you might say, I want us to be good sports. And then if the kids watch you throughout the entire game, screaming at officials, giving the stink eye to the other coach because they're running a particular defense, or they're doing something that you don't like, or that coach is yelling at the refs, whatever the case may be, and they see how you treat them as players on the bench, they see that, and they hear it loud and clear. And even though your words might be saying one thing, your words don't mean anything when kids see your actions showing something else. And I think that's very, very, very important to keep in mind when you're the adult in a situation, because too many adults do things one way and then say things another
way. Practice what you preach.
Correct. Say things another way. And when you're saying one thing and doing another, I guarantee the kids are not hearing at all what you're saying. They're only observing what you're doing.
They don't hear what you're saying even when they want to hear it.
Correct.
So, you know, that goes back to something we talked about earlier, listening. They don't listen half the time anyway. So they're observing way more than they are listening.
For sure. And so that's why it's so, so important to model having good sportsmanship. And to kind of tie this back to where we started the podcast, here at Head Start Basketball, we have a huge belief in the power of sportsmanship to make a difference in the lives of kids and improve the youth basketball landscape. And so at our camps, I always give a speech that I think Jason made fun of me for one of our earlier episodes, that he kind of has it, that I have it down and memorized, and he's been able to memorize it just by hearing me say it so often. But what we do is before we play any games at camp, we have the kids down in a big group and we sit them down and we have a discussion about what's important in terms of sportsmanship at basketball camp. And we ask them to be good sports with three different groups of people. And the first group of people we ask them to be good sports with is their teammates. And we say that being a good sport with your teammate means getting to know their name, which in a camp setting in 1 week, it's not like your team that you're playing with all year, where obviously they're your friends and you know them. This is a camp situation where you're only with them for 1 week. So we ask the kids to get to know their names. We ask them to make sure that when their teammate does something good, you give them a high five, give them a pat on the back, tell them great job. And if they do something wrong, not to make fun of them or call them a name or, you know, yell at them because, hey, they dribbled the ball off their foot or they missed a shot. But just to keep in mind that you pick up kids by saying positive things. You fill their tank by giving them praise. And you say, hey, it's all right. You know, you might have missed that one, but we want you to take the next one. Or, you know, I know you dribbled the ball off your foot right there, but, hey, you were trying to go to the basket. Great job. Keep working at it. And we ask the kids, well, what's the difference between that and saying, hey, you dummy, why'd you dribble the ball off your foot? And which one would they rather hear? And, of course, everybody raises their hand and said they'd rather hear the praise than hear somebody call them a name. And so we try to get them to understand how important that is in how they treat their teammates. And then the last thing we talk about, and again, this is just specific to camp. It doesn't necessarily apply to those of you who are coaching a middle school team or a high school team or whatever the case may be, or specifically a parent. But we ask the kids at camp who are the bigger, better players on their team to share the ball with some of the younger kids who may be on their team who aren't as good or aren't as talented or aren't as big and have a little bit harder time getting the ball. And I think that we do a really good job of making sure that that happens. And I think parents and kids who have come to our camp over the years have seen that particular thing turn out very, very well, where the bigger, better kids really do a good job of sharing the ball and allows the younger kids to look up to the older kids. And we really feel like it sets up a situation where kids are being good sports and interacting in a positive way with their teammates.
The second group of people that we talk about being good sportsmanship or having good sportsmanship is your opponents, you know. And this is a lot of what we've already talked about, like be polite when your team's up by a lot. You know, talk about how, you know, we don't trash talk with the kids. And I know that's one of the bigger things that I've seen as the years progress, like being a coach at Head Start. Like when I first started, there really wasn't any trash talk. And to be honest with you, it's the younger kids that are worse than the older kids, I think. And I don't know if Mike agrees with me there, but
well, I think again, we go back to what we talked about a few minutes ago. What they're seeing and what they're being modeled, what they watch on TV is guys make a shot and they scream and they yell and they flex and they point to their biceps and they prance around the court. And, you know, you'll see kids now, you know, doing that, and they don't understand that, you know, it's disrespectful to their opponents. And as a result, we do see that happening. And so when we do see it, we try to get that under control to make sure it doesn't happen and to help the kids understand that, look, you have to have respect for your opponent. You want to compete as hard as you can against your opponent, but at the same time, you want to understand that those opponents are there to help you get better and you improve and you to measure yourself. And if there's no opponents there,
you're not going to get better.
Then it's no fun. It's no fun. I'll give an example of like, hey, okay, here's this team over here and you're going to go play on that court against no one. There's no opponent. How fun is that game? It's not very fun.
Nope.
Or Jason and I are out in the driveway. We're playing one-on-one against each other. Jason has to go home and eat dinner. And now I'm out there on the court by myself. How much fun is that game of one-on-one when I don't have anybody to play against? It's not very fun.
Yeah.
So we try to teach the kids to be thankful for your opponent, because if you don't have an opponent to play against, the games aren't nearly as much fun. So I think that's a critical thing to make kids understand, that an opponent is not an enemy. An opponent is someone who you're struggling with to help your learning and to help the process of you improving and getting better as a basketball player and measuring where you are in your own development.
And I think really big way that we kind of tie it all together, and this is common in all sports, but like making sure that they all do the high five, say good game to your opponent.
For sure.
Every single time. And you know, and I can remember that back from when I was a kid, when I was at Head Start, like making sure that I high-fived everyone, said good game to everyone. And you know, we obviously do that in traditional sports, but I think we really emphasize it at Head Start, especially because we have first and second graders that maybe haven't really done much on the, you know, sports level and competing with one another. We want to make sure to try and instill that kind of sportsmanship with them as well, because, you know, it's important.
To me, that's one of the non-negotiable things that just doesn't exist. I'll give you a great example. We had a kid today that I just happened to be walking by their game at the end of the game, and the two teams had been playing, and one kid was from the one team was trying to go and shake a kid's hand from the other team, and that kid had his hands behind his back and was holding his hands behind his back, refusing to stick his hand out and shake the other kid's hand. And so as soon as I saw that, I went right over to the boy who had his hands behind his back, and I said, "What are you doing? Why won't you shake his hand?" And he said, "Well, he kept fouling me during the game." And I said, "Well, it doesn't matter if he was fouling you during the game. It doesn't matter what was happening. When the game ends, your job is to put that behind you, shake his hand, move on, and get on to the next game." And he looked at me like I was crazy for about 5 seconds and, again, kept trying to explain to me why he didn't want to shake his hand. And eventually I got through to him. I just said, "Look, do you remember what we talked about on the very first day and how important it is to have respect for your opponents? And even though in your mind he was following you the whole time, he still was your opponent. He was still somebody that you have to have respect for. And if you want to continue to play, you need to shake his hand." And after a little bit of cajoling, I was able to get him to shake his hand. And it was interesting because it wasn't necessarily a kid that I would have picked out as being someone who wouldn't shake someone else's hand. I was kind of surprised with the person that it was. And so it just goes to show you that if I would have let that go, it's something that could have snowballed, and now all of a sudden he's not doing it. Maybe someone else isn't doing it, and you lose some of that sportsmanship that's just, to me, again, critically important to what goes on at basketball camp and in any situation.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to emphasize that when they are doing the high-fiving or whatever, you make sure they're giving positive, good game, because I can specifically, to use one of my examples, I can specifically recall, and I will keep the team that we played nameless as well, but there was a game this season. I was coaching girls 7th grade basketball, and they were going through the high five line, and one girl on the other team was using lots of unmentionable names and language towards my girls. And of course, I'm at the end of the line, so
right,
I'm not
so you never hear it. I'm amazed, honestly. I'm amazed by the number of times that my teams have gone through a line, and then they've come to me after they've gone through the line and said, "Coach, that team or that player or whatever was saying such and such and such rather than saying good game." And again, this is an example where you have to model what the correct behavior is. And so when kids come to me with that, I'm like, "Well, what did you do?" And more often than not, they just say, "I just said good game and kept moving." And again, you can't force somebody. You made the point earlier of control what you can control. I tell kids all the time, you can't control what someone else says or does. You can only control what you say or do. So when you're put in a situation where somebody's trying to push your buttons or get under your skin or say something that's rude or mean or disrespectful, you have to be the bigger person. And we all know it's not always easy to do that. It's not easy to do it as an adult, and it's certainly not easy to do it as a kid. And so you have to really – something that has to be taught and modeled and shown over and over again. So I didn't mean to interrupt your story.
But. No, that's fine. And I was just going to say, you know, to kind of piggyback of what you just said, I know the two coaches that coach this team pretty well. I wouldn't say like I'm friends with them, but I know them. And I know that they wouldn't tolerate it. And ironically, this said girl ended up being suspended by the coaches later on in the season for multiple infractions. But regardless, you know, I really think it's important to make sure that you know, you're kind of instilling with them that you may not like the team because they lost, or you might not be happy with the result of a game, but you still need to go through the line and be positive and say good game and go through it. And you know, we can have our talk after the game, and you can complain about things that happened in the game to me after. But when we're doing that, it's just sportsmanship is important, and you need to say, you know, good game.
Absolutely. So we've got our two groups that we've said so far, which is our teammates and then our opponents. And then the last group that we always talk about, which takes us full circle to the beginning of our discussion, which is to have respect for your officials who are officiating the game. And at the camp setting, that's the coaches who've been working with you, trying to help you to become a better basketball player. And it just goes without saying that you just don't complain to call about calls. Referees are going to make mistakes at every level of basketball. And you just need to keep moving on and keep playing. And one of the things I like to say to the kids is when you get old like me, you can get a whistle, you can get a striped shirt, you can take a class, and then you can be an official. And
I did that.
It's not, as Jason will attest, it's not nearly as much fun to be an official as it is to be a basketball player.
I did it for one season, and
it's a thankless job. I'm glad there are people out there. I wouldn't want to do it. I'm glad there are people out there that do want to do that because the game obviously sorely needs officials.
Yeah.
And it's a thankless job that no matter what you do, even when you do a great job, you have people that are unhappy with you. And so it's just, again, something that we want to teach to the kids is that you have respect for that adult who's trying to enforce the rules of the game to make sure it's fair for everybody. And when you do that, I think the kids, if they hear the message enough, I think they eventually get that. They get that message. And just to wrap this up, sportsmanship to me is something that transcends whatever sport it is that you're playing. It's something that I think can apply to kids' lives with their family. It can apply to kids' lives with their school. It can apply when they get a job. It just makes them a better person in life when you can go through and be a good sport and be respectful of the people and the environment around you. And so to me, if you're a coach or you're a parent and you're not putting an emphasis on sportsmanship with your child who's participating in youth basketball or any youth sport for that matter, you're missing out on a huge opportunity to make an impact on your kid's life both today and in the future and both on and off the court.
I think the biggest thing that I can say to kind of wrap up for myself is, and you said it, respect is the most important thing. And sportsmanship is all about respect in my eyes. You need to have respect for the game, respect for your opponents, respect for anyone that, you know, is on the floor with you or cheering you on in the stands. You know, you just need to be respectful. And it's far bigger, like you said, far bigger than the game itself. I think it's really important. If you teach these things at camp or at practice or with your team, hopefully they'll take it elsewhere. You know, I'm a teacher. I teach things in the classroom. I hope that they don't just learn in the classroom and leave with those and not remember to use it. I hope that when I teach things on the basketball floor, they go and they use it. So showing respectfulness and showing good sportsmanship is really important to me, and I think hopefully that the kids pick up on it and take it elsewhere with them.
So in conclusion, if you are one of the stakeholders in youth basketball, specifically youth sports generally, if you're a parent, if you're a coach, if you're an official, what we hope you do, if you're a player, what we hope you do is take this podcast, take the information that we've given you about sportsmanship and go out and spread the word and model good behavior and model sportsmanship so that we can have a youth landscape where kids are being put into positive environments and being given positive role models that can impact them both now and in the future, both on and off the basketball court. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on our next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.